Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Hey, Durban North, it's Chris, and it's so great to be with you guys online. Like Pastor Dean said, I take care of youth here at the Sandton and Kyalami campuses. And you know, it's been great as over lockdown, as much as I've missed coming down to the coast, it's been great to be able to connect online, watch the services. I mean, Pastor Dean's series on the Psalms has been phenomenal. And the greatest thing has been able to connect with the youth. Every Friday we have youth online and we get to connect not just with the Sandton and the Kyalami kids, but also the guys in Durban North. We get to brief with the team there. So it's been great to, even in this season of isolation, separation, to get closer, to find ways to connect. And you know, as we move through the levels of lockdown, and we're on level one right now, we had this discussion at home, and like most of us did, is like, what are we going to do? Can we travel now? And we were talking about different ways of traveling, and would we feel comfortable in a plane, and where would we like to go? And one of our family members, they'll remain anonymous, they said, man, I can't wait to go on a cruise. And, you know, I thought about it and I'm like, I'm a bit apprehensive to go on a cruise. Now, most of you are thinking, well, that's because of COVID, obviously. And no, I mean, with or without COVID, I don't know if I trust cruises. You see, you only know if you have motion sickness when you get on the cruise. And then if you have motion sickness and you're on the cruise, then it's too late, you know. Now you're going to be there for who knows how long in the open waters feeling sick the whole time. And, you know, I thought maybe I was just being hysterical. Maybe I was just being a little bit over the top. And then I realized my fear of cruises is actually biblical. You see, when I read the Bible and I see people going on cruises or going on ships, it doesn't always end well. Just ask Noah. There was a flood. In fact, you can only ask Noah because there was nobody else left in the world after that flood. In fact, also in the Old Testament, there's a story of Jonah who gets on a boat and he ends up getting thrown overboard and swallowed by this big fish. And he gets spat out on the shore. That's where they got the inspiration for Pinocchio, by the way. And then even if you read the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, as he's preaching and teaching, he gets arrested, he gets put on a ship, that ship gets shipwrecked, they run ashore, and then after the shipwreck, he gets bit by a snake, and it's really messy. And even the disciples themselves, you know, the disciples, Jesus sent them across the lake, he said, I'll meet you on the other side, and then Jesus has to walk on the water, then Peter tries, then he falls in, and it's just a little bit embarrassing for everyone. But you know, the scariest story is the fact that even when Jesus was in a boat, a storm still happened. You know, Jesus jumps in the boat and we can read about it. And we're going to look at it a little bit later. But how scary is that, that even in the midst of Jesus, the storm could still happen? Could you imagine that? And I say, could you imagine that? But for many of us, it's the reality that we face day to day. We have Jesus in our life. We trust him. We're being obedient to God. And as we go through life, storms still happen in areas of our lives, our whole lives, whether it's financially, whether it's the relationships that we have, whether it's our future, our purpose. Maybe there's the storm of anxiety that's come up and that's affecting us. Well, could I just encourage you that we can take comfort from what happens in the Bible? And today, that's what we're going to look at. What do we do when the storm catches up to us? What happens when we go going through life, being obedient to God, and there's a storm that appears? The title of your message is this: Don't Go Under. And once you've written that down, I hope that you are taking notes. We're going to pray and then commit the rest of the service to God. Heavenly Father, thank you for every single person who's watching the stream today. Thank you that we are here by divine appointment, not by accident, Father God. And as we look at the topic of storms, many of us are facing storms. Many of us will eventually face storms. I pray that there would be practical tools that we can use in this message. There would be spiritual truth, but practical help, Father God. I pray that you'd use me, you'd use my voice, you'd speak through me, Lord, but your Holy Spirit would speak to the individual hearts of people, that you would change people's lives and you would change the course of our journey. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, today, like I said, the title of the message is Don't Go Under. We're going to take a look at how, even though there might be storms in our lives, that they wouldn't cause us to go under, that they wouldn't be the end of us, because there's always purpose on the other end of storms. There's always something on the other side of them. And if we can learn to navigate them in life, it'll help us in the long run. You see, Jesus tells us this in the Bible. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. Take heart, for I've overcome the world. He doesn't say in this world, you may have trouble. He doesn't say in this world, if you misbehave, there'll be trouble. He just guarantees us that there will be trouble in life. And if we can learn to navigate those storms, navigate the trouble, God will help us when we apply practical principles and we can get through the storms. So we're going to take a look at one of the storms where Jesus was on the boat with the disciples and he actually fell asleep in the story. It's found in Luke chapter 8, verse 22. And it says this: one day he got into the boat with his disciples and he said to him, let us go across to the other side of the lake. So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. Verse 24 goes and it says, and they went and they woke him saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased and there was a calm. Verse 25 goes on to say, he said to them, where's your faith? And they were afraid and they marveled, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even the winds and the waters and they obey him? That's a pretty amazing story. And in that story, we're going to take a look at some things that we can apply in our lives to get to the other side. The first thing is a question that we need to ask ourselves, what's filling our lives? In the Bible, in the story, in the scripture that we've just read, it says water was filling the boat. What would happen is the wind was blowing, there were waves that were crashing, and it was putting water in the boat. And as the boat would get heavier, it would end up sinking. And the disciples, you need to remember, were actually fishermen. They weren't just random people, so they were getting hysterical because they were getting a bit wet. They were seasoned fishermen, so they understood the seas and what was happening. They would have obviously tried themselves to use a bucket to take some of the water that was coming in out, because they'd identified that it was a problem that was causing them to go under. In fact, this was a common thing that you see in scripture. When there was a storm on a lake, or when the people were in the boat, they would often throw things overboard. For example, when you read the story of Jonah, when the storm happens, they end up taking stuff and they throw it off into the sea to lighten the ship. In fact, even when Paul was caught in a shipwreck, they have to cut loose some things. And on the third day, it says they threw the ship's tackle overboard. So it was a common thing to identify things that were weighing the ship down so that they could make it to where they wanted to go. And that's a principle that we need to apply in our lives. We need to be able to identify the things in our lives that are weighing us down, that are causing us to go under. Because when we can, what will end up happening is we can identify those things, remove those things, and get to the other side of the storm. The trouble is, it's not always as simple as you might think. You see, I read an article the other day in the news, not the newspaper, because I can't really get the newspaper, it was an app on my phone. And it told the story of a Frenchman, a man in France, and he was about to sit and have his dinner. And as he sat down to have his dinner, a fly popped in to his house, just to say hi, came to visit him. And all of us know how annoying flies are. So what he did was he got his electric fly swatter and he began to chase the fly. And as he chased it throughout the home, he got closer. And as he hit the fly swatter on, what ended up happening was his house had exploded. You see, he didn't realize it was a gas leak that had occurred in his house. And when he hit the fly swatter on, when it made contact with the fly, his house blew up. Thank goodness it was just a little bit of burns to his arm. However, his house was uninhabitable afterwards. And what's interesting with this story is I think it's something that could happen in our own lives. So often we can be chasing off these small little annoyances in our lives, not realizing that there's a gas leak that is filling our house. Those small little things can end up causing an explosion in our lives. And as we blow up, our life can end up going under because we didn't know what was filling our lives. So today we're going to take a look at what are the possible things that could be leaking into our house, into our lives like the gas. And the first one is sin and temptation. I'm not going to spend too much time on this point because last week, Pastor Dean preached an incredible message based on the sin in David's life from the book of Psalms. And if you haven't watched that after this message, don't wait, don't pause, go watch that because it'll change your life. But I want to focus more on temptation. You see, many of us have this misconception that temptation only happens to bad people. And that's not true. You see, all of us face temptation as we go through life. It doesn't make you a bad Christian or a bad person if you face temptation. How do I know this? Jesus Christ himself faced temptation when he went to the wilderness. And the temptation, God used it to strengthen him because he went into the wilderness with the Holy Spirit on him, but he exited in the power of the Holy Spirit. And how we navigate temptation is important. And you see, temptation can become dangerous when we get comfortable. We've got to ask ourselves, what have we gotten comfortable? Just like the man in his house, he got comfortable with the smell of the gas that he didn't notice that it was danger in his life. And that's exactly what sin and temptation does in our life. We get comfortable around it. And before we know it, we can end up sinning at the smallest thing. We would identify what are those areas in our lives. Is it a certain person that we speak to that we shouldn't be speaking to? Is it what we look at online? Whatever your temptation is, you need to sit with God and say, hey, how can I navigate this? Have I gotten too comfortable with it? You know, perhaps it's an addiction that we're suffering with. And here's the thing with addiction is not every addiction is a dirty one. It's easy to point out the easy ones to find and say, well, that's definitely an addiction. But what about the things that are a little bit more subtle? What about the approval of others? Many of us have this addiction for the approval of others as we go on social media, as we navigate through life. We need to do stuff so that people will approve, and we can sometimes look for people's approval over God's approval. And we can do something small, but it can cause a big disruption in our lives. The second area that could leak into our lives is disappointment and discouragement. As you go through life, many of us would have navigated some disappointment, particularly this year. We had plans for the year. We had travel plans. We had financial plans. We had plans for the relationships, plans as matrix maybe, or as students. And all those plans went up in the air, and we can end up being disappointed. And disappointment is part of life, like I said, but we need to be able to navigate it properly. You see, if you look at the Bible, there's a man named Judas. It's not a very popular baby name anymore, but Judas was one of the 12 disciples. And many scholars believe that because Judas was disappointed at what Jesus was doing, he had seen the miraculous, he had been there for the teaching, but he was disappointed because he expected Jesus to do more, to bring forward a political revolution. And Jesus didn't do those things. In fact, Jesus, like the book of Isaiah, describes him as the suffering servant, went to the cross. And Judas was disappointed, and in his disappointment, he ended up betraying Jesus. And the same thing can happen in our lives. We can get disappointed, and instead of navigating it properly, we can end up betraying what we believe. It's important that when it comes to disappointment, we don't handle it alone, that we have a community that we belong to, whether it's a church, whether it's a connect group, whether it's a volunteer team that we serve in. Make sure that as you navigate disappointment, that there are people that you are speaking to, that we are committing our disappointment to God, but we're also getting help from other people, because community is important. The other thing that can happen is we can get disappointed and discouraged. Perhaps we have some negative voices in our life. Maybe it's people in our lives, and they look at the lockdown where they speak about our country and the future of our country, and we need to be educated, we need to be well informed, but we don't let what people say determine the level of our faith. We let the level of our faith determine how we see our country, how we see the outcome, and what we see in the future. We need to cut loose some people, and we need to let go so that we don't end up going under. The next thing is stress. How many of us know that we can be stressed, especially in 2020? 2020 is an abnormal year. I don't know if you've noticed this so far. You see, 2020 went January, February, lockdown, and hopefully it'll be December soon. And as we navigate through 2020, what could end up happening is we can have stress in our lives. Just because we're at home, it doesn't mean that we're not stressed. Just because we're not in the office doesn't mean that there's no stress. In fact, for many of us, it's more stressful. You know, as we try to keep our jobs, as it comes to homeschooling our kids, as it comes to navigating financial stress, as we've navigated this, it can cause more stress in our lives than we don't realize it. One of the other things that's happened in 2020 is there's no such thing as working hours anymore. We have these things they're called smartphones. And the problem with the smartphone is you are just a message or an email away. And so often when we used to work and we had working hours, we had boundaries in our lives. But as we've come home, as we've tried to navigate a lockdown, we can end up on our phones more. We can end up responding to emails late at night. And it causes more and more stress. And something small, something insignificant can cause the biggest fight, the biggest argument, the biggest blow up. And we can end up heading down, going under, instead of seeing ourselves through the storm. We need to make sure that we navigate our stress properly. The Bible speaks about the seventh day being a day of rest. Do we have margin in our lives? Do we have a Sabbath in our life where we can rest, we can pause, where we can say, hey, I need to be refreshed for the week that's coming up? I know there's lots that we are juggling at the moment, but we should never underestimate the power of rest. God said that rest is holy and rest is obedience to Him. We need to apply margin in our lives so that we don't end up blowing up and going under. And the last thing that I want to focus on, the last thing that's filling our lives, is something interesting. It's called familiarity. As we've gone through COVID, as we've gone through lockdown, perhaps there's familiarity that's crept into our lives. You see, the Bible tells us lots about familiarity. And one of the most well-known scriptures is when Jesus goes to his hometown in Mark 6. And you can read it. And what happens is Jesus goes to his hometown, and people at first are amazed at what he's doing. They're amazed at his teaching. And then what happens is they begin to get familiar. And they say, hey, isn't that the carpenter's son? I know him. I know his hood. I know where he came from. And the Bible tells us this in Mark 6, verse 5. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And verse 6 goes, he was amazed at their lack of faith. I wonder if that's a picture of our lives. You see, so often as we navigated through these things, have we gotten familiar with the family around us? Have we gotten familiar with our spouses? Have we gotten familiar with our kids? Have we gone out of our way to have a date night, to have a family night? Even if we couldn't go out, have we prioritized the time? Have we gotten too familiar with church? As we've done church online, as we continue to do church online till the end of the year, could I encourage you not to get familiar? When worship comes on, is it an opportunity to make coffee? Is it an opportunity to check your Instagram feed quickly until the message comes? Or do we say, hey, Heavenly Father, I know your Holy Spirit can meet me wherever I am. So today, as we go into worship, what I'm going to do is I'm going to worship harder. I'm going to press in. I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit would meet me in this moment. When it comes to the messages online, do we just sit and do we consume it like watching Netflix, or do we let it be impartation into our lives? Are we taking notes? Are we letting God's word change us from the inside out? Let's not get familiar in this season. I hope that God doesn't look back at our lives and say, man, I'm amazed at their lack of faith. God's only amazed when someone's faith is extraordinary or there's a lack of faith. And I'd rather God be amazed at my extraordinary faith than my lack of faith. And you know, the Bible says that Jesus could do no mighty works there. I hope that that's never the story of my life, that God looked at my life and said, I wanted to do more, but you were too familiar. You got too familiar with the things of God and I couldn't do more in your life. And as we move to the second point, it's another question that we have to ask ourselves, and it's this: what has our attention? You see, as we read that scripture, as we look at the scripture that we started with, what you'll see is the disciples were more focused on the storm than on Jesus. They went to Jesus as a last resort when they thought all hope was lost. And I hope that God and Jesus are not our last resort, but they're our first response, that we go to Him and we do our part, but we trust God to do what only God can. And it's understandable that the disciples were focused on the storm because it was a big storm. There was water coming in, there was waves that were crushing them. And as we go through life, there might be some big storms. There could be some very real threats that are appearing in our lives. But we shouldn't focus on the storm, but focus on the one who can calm the storm. You see, often what we give our attention to can determine the outcome of the situation. You see, a couple of weeks ago in Sanson, I preached on the story of David and Goliath. And even if you're not familiar with church, many people will know that story. And what happens is there's the two armies, the Israelites and the Philistines. And David goes and he conquers Goliath. And it's an amazing story of the little teenage boy who overcame the giant. But many scholars and psychologists believe that the reason that the Israelites didn't attack was because Goliath had been throwing insults at them for 40 days before the battle. In fact, they say this is possibly the first example of psychological warfare ever recorded. Because Goliath had the attention of the Israelite army and he kept throwing insults and he kept telling them how small they are and how he was going to beat them, what ended up happening was they began to buy the hype. And as they bought the hype, as they began to listen to it, it paralyzed them in the moment. Similar thing happens to the disciples is when they see the storms, they get paralyzed and they run to Jesus. And what we need to understand in our lives is what we give our attention to can either empower us or paralyze us. Do we give our attention to the news reports? Do we give our attention to the facts that are out there? Or do we give our attention to the good news, to God's truth and to His word? We need to make sure that we are giving our attention to the thing that can help us get through it. God and His word, His truth, the people of God. And when we give our attention to the right things, it'll help us overcome what lies ahead of us. And like I said, we must make sure that God is not our last resort. You see, some people were like, well, Jesus rebuked the disciples for waking him up. I don't think that's true. I don't think Jesus was angry that the disciples woke him up. And the rebuke wasn't because they woke him up. In fact, I think if it wasn't for Jesus, they may not have gotten to the other side. But I think Jesus' rebuke was because of how they were operating. They were paralyzed by fear and they were making decisions that were based out of fear instead of stepping out and operating in faith. Remember, they had Jesus with them. Jesus had been preaching and teaching and they had been receiving the teaching. And in our lives, we need to make sure that we don't operate out of fear. We aren't paralyzed out of fear, but instead we respond with faith and with prayer. We don't panic. We don't look at what's happening around us and get into a flat panic. Instead, we operate on a different level. We operate because we have a Savior who can help us, a Savior who can help us in the storm, a Savior who's dealt with our past, and a Savior who guarantees us a future. And the other thing that we need to remember is what we give our attention to is we need to remember who sends us. Like I said, that scripture is pretty interesting. It starts with Jesus telling the disciples to get on the boat and go to the other side of the lake. What had happened before that, Jesus had been teaching and preaching. In fact, if you read the story in Mark's gospel, you'll find that Jesus was preaching and teaching from the boat. And that's pretty significant because that's a picture of our lives. Is that boat was an ordinary boat that was just sitting on the shore. But Jesus, when he got into that boat, it became a vessel that God used to preach the good news, to carry people and to change the world. And the same thing happens in our lives, is that when Jesus gets in our lives, he will use our lives, despite the condition of our lives and our past, to change the world, to help people and to bring the salvation message across. We need to remember who sent us. You see, just like in that story, Jesus told the disciples to go to the other side. It wasn't the disciples' idea. They weren't going on a quick fast food run to run through McDonald's because they didn't hear Pastor Dean's wisdom message on wisdom with health. Instead, Jesus told them to do this. It was his idea. And because the instruction came from God, we should have confidence in that. Many people ask, why was Jesus sleeping in a storm? Well, Jesus was practically tired. He'd been spent the whole day preaching and teaching. I think the question is not, why was Jesus sleeping in a storm? The question is, how could Jesus sleep in a storm? How could, when the boat is moving and there's water coming in, how could he stay asleep? And I think there's two reasons for that. The first is simply this, is Jesus knew where they were going. Jesus knew that there was purpose on the other end of the storm. Jesus knew how he was going to die. So he knew that he had the foreknowledge of, on the other side of this lake, as we get to the other side of this water, there's a man named Jairus whose daughter's about to die. And there's a woman who's been waiting for her healing for the past 12 years. I know that there's purpose on the other side, so this won't end me. And in our lives, you need to remember that God has purpose for our lives. And don't get caught up in the storm, but look beyond the storm and say, hey, what's on the other side of this? And the second thing is this, it's that Jesus trusted the disciples to follow his instructions. You see, when I was learning how to drive, this was many years ago, I'd obviously start small and then the distance would increase gradually. And the one day my dad and I, we were coming back from school and we had done this trip a few times and I noticed that my dad fell asleep. Now, he'd been working really hard. He'd been doing some work with companies overseas. So he had been sleeping rather late. So he was practically tired. And I let it slide the first time. But a few times later, I think we stopped. I said, Dad, how can you fall asleep? Like, do you not care if I live? Do you not care if we have an accident? And he turned to me and he just simply said this. He said, I trust that you'll do what I told you to do. I trust you to get us there safely. And I feel like that's the heart of Jesus. If we follow his instructions, if we follow the Bible, God would trust us to see it to the other side. He trusts us to obey his word and go to the other side. So the first point was we need to ask ourselves what's filling our lives. We need to remove those things. The second thing was we need to ask ourselves, what are we giving our attention to? And make sure our attention is on Jesus. And the third point is not a question, but it's a statement. Jesus is on board. And that's something we need to remember, is that Jesus was on board. You see, for the disciples, because the boat was filling with water, because their attention was on the storm, they might have lost sight of the significance of having Jesus on the boat. And so often in our lives in a storm, we can lose sight of the significance of having Jesus on board our life, to be with us, to help us through the storms and through the journey of life. And because Jesus is on board, we need to remember not only is he on board, but we can go to Jesus. That's exactly what the disciples did eventually. And we need to make sure that we go to Jesus. You know, even when we don't have the faith to go to Jesus, we need to find it within ourselves to go to Jesus, just like the disciples did. You know, so often as we go through storms and we look at what's happening, it can cause our faith level to shrink back. We can look at what's happening in the storm. We can look at the loss of our job. We can look at the tension in the relationships that we might have. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe your bank balance is going down and your credit card debt is going up. I'm not sure what the storm looks like for you, but what I do know is that it can cause us to shrink back. And in those moments, we should not lose sight of the fact that Jesus is on board. He's not expecting our faith level to be perfect, but what he does need for us to do is to go to him, just like the disciples did. And as we go to him, he'll lift our faith levels up. How do I know that the disciples' faith level was low? Well, when they went to Jesus, they didn't say, hey, Jesus, please stop the storm. The scripture that we read says, Master, Master, we are perishing. In Mark's gospel, they say, do you not care that we're perishing? They were just letting Jesus know that this was how they were going to die. In fact, when Jesus does stop the storm, the disciples are like, whoa, who is this guy that the wind and the waves and the oceans listen to him? They weren't expecting that, but they went to Jesus. And in our lives, even when our faith level is low, even when the storm is raging, even when it seems impossible, when it seems like there's no way out of the situation, what we need to do is we need to go to Jesus. Because when we go to Jesus, he lifts the level of our faith. As we get into his word, as we are comforted by his presence, as we get around the family of believers, it builds something in our lives so that we don't look at what's happening around us. Instead, we can look to the other side of the storm. And the second thing we need to look at about Jesus being on board is how he wakes up. You see, what's happening, to paint context, put yourself in the shoes of the disciples. The wind is blowing, the water's crashing, and it's coming in the boat. The boat's probably being thrown up and down, and yet Jesus remains asleep. Isn't it interesting that the storm's not what wakes Jesus up in the story, no matter how violent the storm is? And in our lives, the storm isn't what wakes Jesus up in our lives. What ends up happening in the story is when the disciples go to him, then he wakes up. And that's the thing we need to remember, is the thing that wakes up Jesus, the thing that gets Jesus' attention is not the storm and it's not the waves and it's not the wind, but it's the voice of his followers. And as his followers, when we come to him in prayer and we say, Heavenly Father, I need your help. I know that you're the Savior, not just at the cross, but you can save me in every situation, circumstance that I'm going through. I need your help. Then Jesus will stand up and in three words, calm the storm. Help us get to the other side. You see, we can't wake Jesus up. We can't go to him if we don't first have him in the boat of our life. So maybe you're here today and you don't have Jesus on the boat of your life. You've been trying to take all the stuff out. You've got a whole bunch of things in your life that's pulling you down. It starts with first inviting him into your life. And maybe you've walked through life and you used to have Jesus on board, but you jumped ship because life got crazy, life got scary. Well, here's the thing is we serve a Savior who can walk on water. And just like with Peter, he'll walk on the water and he'll pick you up and he'll put you back in the boat. So if you're coming to God for the first time, or you're saying, I need to recommit my life to him, I'd love nothing more than to just pray with you. So wherever you are, if you would mind closing your eyes, bowing your heads, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for every single person watching this stream. As we navigate the storms in our life, I pray that you would give us the confidence to see the other side, that you'll help us through it. And for those of us today who are making a decision for the first time to be born again, I pray that you'd come into our lives, Lord, that you would change us from the inside out. We give you the throne. We say, take the guilt, the shame, and the sin of our past and give us your hope and your glorious future. For those of us who are coming back to you again, Lord, I pray that the decisions we've made wouldn't shape the future that we have in you, that you'd help us come back. You'll give us a fresh start, a renewing of our mind, a renewing of our spirit as we step out, as we follow you today. I pray you'll help us get to the other side in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.